Hello, it's Robert Bathurst here. I was one of the first guests on My Time Capsule, and Mike has asked me to tell you that you can now listen to the podcast ad-free by subscribing to Acast Plus. Details of how to join are in the description of each episode. Mike says it's very reasonably priced. In fact, Mike says it's a bargain. And who am I to disagree, locked here in his cellar? Anyway, for a small subscription, Acast Plus, My Time Capsule, ad-free. Free. Unlike me.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello. Yes, once again, it's My Time Capsule with me, Mike Fenton-Stevens. Now, My Time Capsule, if you've not heard it before, and therefore not once again, is the podcast where people tell me five things from their life that they wish they had in a time capsule. They pick four things that they really cherish and one thing that they wish they could bury and forget. And I'm delighted to say that the guest in this episode is the lovely stand-up comedian Maisie Adam. Now, Maisie is well on her way from being one of the brightest rising stars of the UK comedy scene to becoming, well, virtually a household name. Since winning the nationwide So You Think You're Funny competition in 2017, she's won Best New Act at the Chortle Awards and the Amused Moose National New Act Gong, as well as being nominated Best Newcomer at the Edinburgh Fringe for her debut show, Vague. She followed this up with two more shows, a sold-out Edinburgh run of the critically acclaimed Hang Fire, before embarking on a sold-out 63-date tour of her most recent show, Buzzed, which went on to finish with a sold-out run at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Maisie's anecdotal material and witty charm have quickly won her praise across the country, and she's since appeared on Live at the Apollo, A League of Their Own, Mock the Week, Have I Got News for You, QI, Roast Battle, 8 out of 10 Cats, and the Royal Variety Performance. She's also the host of the hugely successful Big Kick Energy podcast, which she co-hosts with her friend and fellow comedian Susie Ruffle. And that podcast won Sports Podcast of the Year in the Sports Broadcast Awards just 5 months after the first episode aired. They have several live dates coming up this spring, so do check them out. Plus, Maisie is heading back out on tour with a brand new show, Appraisal, right through this autumn, going from Reading to Swindon and all stops in between, from the 17th of September to the 7th of November, so book your tickets now. And of course, that's why I was asked to chat with her on My Time Capsule, so lucky me. And, if I may be so bold, lucky you. Here is the delightful Maisie Adam.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Can you hear me?
I can, Maisie, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Hurrah.
Lovely.
How lovely to be here at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I know. I don't know. I don't know as well why, like, after 2-3 years of trying to do all this, like, setup, it's still beyond stressful to get it right.
I know. I do it regularly. Obviously, well, you do a podcast. I do a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Sometimes you do it online and you think to yourself, well, I know how this works. The moment that anything goes wrong, you just go into complete panic.
Yeah, yeah. And it'll always be different. You'll be like, right, I've got the setup now, ready for all of the future ones I'm going to do.
Yeah, no. There you are.
Thank you so much for having me on.
No, my pleasure, absolutely. I was delighted that you said yes. Thank you very much.
How fab.
It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I cough, it's because I've got the 100-day cough. Bastard thing.
Oh.
It's a virus that went around. I got it about a month ago, and just every now and again, it hits you.
Oh, you're sounding good, though.
Thank you. Well, I'm playing the wizard in Wicked at the moment in the West End.
Oh, my God, that's so exciting.
It is ridiculous.
Oh, wow. How long is that until?
A year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Can you imagine?
Wow.
I've never done a year in my life in anything.
No.
No.
No. That's mad. I mean, it makes it laughable then that comedians will go, oh, Edinburgh's a long month.
Yes, it does slightly. Although I'll tell you at the end, you know, I mean, because I have no idea. I may get to the end and go completely mad. I might just go stir crazy.
The breaking of Michael Fenton Stevens.
It will be.
Years from now. It was all good until MFS got involved. He kept blaming this 100-day cough that none of us really thought existed. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a very straightforward thing, this. So it's sort of very much up to you what you choose.
Great.
I should try to make it as exciting as BKE,
oh.
But I'm hardly Susie Ruffle.
Oh, she's so great. I love working with her.
I bet.
It's just, well, you'll know this. If you know, if you've got a brilliant cast that you're working with, it doesn't feel like work, does
no.
it? It just feels like you've been let loose to just have fun and madly people call it work. But no, I love it.
Love it, indeed. So, Maisie, what we're going to talk about, because I know you've got a whole day of promoting. Well, I think before we start, because that's what you're here for,
yeah.
And because, you know, you're obliged to do it, we should talk about, first of all, the fact that you've got this enormous tour at the end of the year.
Yes.
It's fabulous, isn't it?
Blumenek, yeah. I feel quite, I feel nervous and excited about it. I sort of feel that the closest thing I can compare it to is like a driving test. Or like your exams or an audition or something. Like you're excited for it. You think it's going to go well, but there's still this nervousness of going, what are people going to think? What are they going to say? And I think as well, because it's, as you mentioned very kindly, it's a big old tour. I did my first ever tour for the, you know, first time in 2022, which ran into last year. And that was lovely, but it was my first one, so I had nothing to compare it to. And now I'm a bit like, I had such a great time. I need this one to top it. Like, I need it to be as exciting to me as the last one and to be as good for the audience as the last one as well. So, yeah, it's nerve-wracking now that they're all in the diary. I mean, you'll know how it works. For ages, you're going, yeah, we'll go on tour, Yeah, we'll get on tour. Yeah, we'll get some pictures done. Yeah.
Come and see me in Salford, yeah. We'll go for a drink afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And then you look in your diary and you go, oh, God, oh, it's there and it's on sale. Oh, God. But it's wonderful. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I think you cope with it really well because it's happened very quickly, the whole thing.
Yeah, I think relatively quickly.
Does it feel like that or am I making
that
up?
No, you're not making it up. But I think because I'm experiencing it and I don't have anything to compare it to, I don't know how quick is quickly in this weird, mad industry. But
yeah.
I know you're not making it up because a lot of people tell me it's been quite quick and it does feel like it's flown by because it's such a fun job. But I also think, not that I've got this experience, but I think if you'd have done it for 100 years, it would feel like it's flown by because it's a really stupidly fun job. So I think it has been relatively quickly, but it's like a ride that you sort of don't want to get off, and then everybody else is telling you, "Well, you're doing very well, and it's going very, very fast." So you're like, "Yeah, but I don't know what anybody else's experience is of it,
no,
you know,
or where it's going."
No, exactly. I don't know how long I've got left on the ride.
I mean, there it is. Great, that's to prove that I do have it. It's very difficult at the moment for stand-ups, I think, because there aren't as many television outlets as there were.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, you do have to build up an audience through performance.
I think it's like a double-edged sword, really, of there's definitely not as much TV. We're seeing a lot of, especially pure stand-up-based shows, you know, Mock the Week go in, and a lot of the stuff on Comedy Central that was more stand-up-based now isn't being commissioned as much. The opportunities are fewer and far between with TV now. But on the flip side of this, comedians have never had perhaps quite so much access to an audience and the public, in that the power of social media and the internet now, people are selling out huge theatres, huge rooms that one day, you know, when I was a kid, you had to have had your own TV show that you were hosting before you could hope to sell out the Apollo.
Yeah.
And now people are selling it out through sharing their clips of their performance. And so, and I think sometimes there's a bit of snobbery around that of going, well, they're these online comedians, but well, they're still filming a gig that actually happened, that they did actually smash, and they did actually come up with those brilliant lines in the moment. And it's a bit more DIY, and it's a bit more, you know, you've got the comedian directly going to the audience, the public, going, look, this happened at this comedy club, you come see me live. And in many ways, although it's sad that there's not as much TV opportunities anymore, it is between the comedian and the audience. There's far less of the middleman industry. A lot of people would say, you know, gatekeepers. Now, if you've got something to say and you've got something that you think people are going to engage with, it doesn't have to pass through so many powerful people before it gets to Jim in Skegness's ears.
Well, it's much more of a meritocracy, I think. So that's good. It should be.
Yeah, I remember, like, I remember the first time I heard that word, because I thought, oh, that sounds fancy. it was, I do a charity gig up north for a charity I'm quite closely involved with. And we had Barbara Nice on, and she was obviously brilliant. But Janice Connolly, who's the woman behind Barbara Nice, she was saying about a lot of the closure of arts venues around, you know, I think it was particularly sort of in line with austerity and post-pandemic. And we were seeing a lot of arts being cut around, and that was the general chat of I say the green room. The gig used to be in my high school, so the green room was Mr. Crane's physics lab. But we were in the physics lab, and Janice said, you know, this industry is the closest thing you've got to a meritocracy. You don't get a leg up from a connection or an endorsement from somebody who's previously been top of their industry. At the end of the day, you'll get caught out. You might get a brief leg up, but you'll get caught out. If you're not funny, you're not funny.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest reasons I think I love being in this mad job is that meritocracy, yeah.
Yeah, but you come from that world, don't you? Your mum, no?
No, she set up a literary, like, festival.
Okay.
That was a passion project. Right. So my mum worked in education. She was a PE teacher. And
what use is that?
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. Exactly. But I think there's definitely a bit of inspiration from her of, like, pursuing a passion. She sort of got to the end of her time at the university, and she's got a very encyclopedic knowledge of music. She's a punk. She's always been a punk. And she still kind of, I think, deep within her has those sort of values still.
Yeah.
And she knew that there's this big audience of people who just love reading everything there is about music. Music books, autobiographies, I mean, books on subcultures. And so she just compiled a little sort of festival that takes place in Manchester every year, and she still does it.
I apologise.
Oh, go on, man.
Cough it up, come on.
Cough it up. What did I hear someone say recently? Have you ever heard this? Better an empty flat than a bad tenant. I love that.
That's very good.
It's great, isn't it?
Doesn't only apply to coughing, of course.
No. Well, it wasn't a cough that I heard it follow when I heard it. But yeah, feel free to use it.
Okay, I will. So how lovely then. We're going to talk about five things from your life you've chosen to put in a time capsule. Four things you love and one thing you'd like to bury and forget.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. I'm starting off, we're going in hard straight away, Michael. I would like to put, first of all, into the time capsule, blue slush puppies. Have you ever had, Michael Fenton-Stevens, a blue slush puppy?
Let me think about it. I have tasted one, yes. Yes, my grandchildren love them.
Have you? Oh, yeah. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And it is a taste that you'd think you'd grow out of. And I don't have them regularly. I reckon I have a blue slush puppy once a year, max. And it will always be either in a theme park or a bowling alley.
Yeah.
Because I think they're the only places that you can get, or at the seaside. They're perfect. I mean, they're terrible for you. I would hate to watch one of those documentaries that Jamie Oliver would do where he shows you the ingredients of one.
Yes.
But they are a taste that the taste of it immediately takes me back to being sort of 7, 8, 9 years old, where that age where everybody's birthday party was at a bowling alley.
Yeah.
And a blue slush puppy. And they came with a straw that at the end was like a spoon so that you could whip it up as well.
Yeah, because they are sort of, in a way, three drinks, aren't they? They're sort of, first of all, they are a slush, and then it turns into sort of juice and ice, and then you get the tasty ice.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, at some point, it resembles what might be as close to a sorbet that you could have at 7 years old, which made you feel very fancy, sort of sat waiting for your turn at bowling, scooping out a miniature mouthful of blue ice, because that's so classy. Mm. But I absolutely, absolutely love them. And now they've sort of taken precedence of like, I very rarely go for it because of their limited availability. You can't Deliveroo a blue slush puppy. You have to be on their turf. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to be there. Which is why if I ever have a very bad hangover, like it is the number one thing I want. People say, oh, you want a Lucozade or you want a Coke. What I would love on a hangover is a blue slush puppy. Mm-hmm. But you can't Deliveroo them. You can't. They're unattainable. I live in Brighton and there have been some hangovers where I've been genuinely tempted to walk to the seafront just in pursuit of a blue slush puppy. And then I've remembered that, you know, things aren't that bad just yet. I don't want to be able to be sat one day on Michael Fenton Stevens' podcast and say that I've done that.
Or to have photographic evidence.
Yeah,
of it,
yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, just exactly.
Now, when I've come across them, they always say to you, would you like blue or red or mixed?
Yeah, pick a side. So many people, I can remember this, doing mixed. And you see it at the cinema as well with a Tango Ice Blast. People like to mix and match. What are you doing? Like, pick a side. Because it just ends up becoming this weird purple gunk. Mm-hmm. No. You're going up to a slush puppy machine to get a slush puppy. Right?
Yeah.
You want to have either an electric blue drink or an obscenely red drink. Don't be going somewhere in the middle. Pick red or blue.
Mm.
Don't be going Liberal Democrats with your slush puppy. Don't be going down the middle. Red or blue. It's red or blue.
It's one of those few drinks, isn't it, that actually is, well, it reminds me of a time when all drinks were incredibly vivid.
Yes. Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? When you think back to a lot of the sort of fizzy pops we were at, Panda Pop, I remember always at a school
stuff.
Disco. And these ones, there was ones with that were in like a yogurt pot with a, and you'd have to pierce the lid with a very thin straw. And it was, you're right, they were always sort of highlighter colour
mm-hmm.
drinks.
Yes.
You know, like a fluorescent yellow, like a high-vis jacket colour yellow. Or a bright blue like the slush puppies, or a bright green apple juice. Apple juice should never be green. I might get that tattooed, actually. It sounds quite inspirational, doesn't it? Apple juice should never be green.
That's it. I'm going to have a T-shirt made.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. Well, to me, it's slightly reminiscent. When I was a young man, the thing you could buy was a thing called a jubbly.
A jubbly?
You know, when Dale Boy says, lovely jubbly. We had a jubbly, which was a sort of a pyramidical, triangular-shaped block of ice. And you cut the edge off and you slowly fed it out. And it was almost impossible. It would sometimes just shoot out the thing and you'd lose it. But it was actually, again, the same thing. It was ice that would slowly melt and turn into two different drinks, and then you'd eat the ice at the end.
Oh, a jubbly. When did they stop?
I've no idea. I can never understand why.
I've never seen a jubbly.
They were the most gorgeous things.
They must have contained something in them that was like, because you don't even hear, you're the first person I've ever heard speak about them.
I've got one. It says ice, water, colouring, cocaine. No, I think it was fine.
Opioids, just ketamine. What was the problem?
What's the problem? All us kids were happy.
Yeah. Everything in moderation and you're fine.
Yes, quite. I do slightly suspect that of a slush puppy because kids go a bit mad when they have one. But yeah, a hangover cure. Now there's a new angle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they could rebrand it for the adults going, mm-hmm. big night last night. Get a slush puppy.
Oh. You were sloshed? Get sloshed.
Yes! Love it!
Thank you.
Come on, Michael. Get on the adverts.
I've done too many. Okay, let's put the slush puppy in. The lovely blue, or blueberry, I think they do claim it to taste like.
I think so. Mm. Yeah. I think it tastes like everything but a real blueberry.
Yes.
But yeah, let's go with blueberry.
Okay. All right, that's the first thing then.
Okay.
Right, so Maisie, what's number two?
Number two is the feeling or the moment as soon as I would get into a nightclub as an under 18. Oh, there's no feeling like it. When I was 17 years old, me and my friends would try and quite successfully most weekends get into a nightclub called the Viper Rooms. And it was like a military operation, Michael, because you had to source a sort of fake driver's license or borrow an older sibling's one. But these were few and far between because there wasn't a lot of nightclubs near where I grew up. So a lot of them were being used. You know, if you had an older sibling, they had already used theirs and they weren't going to give it to you because you'd cramp the style. So, and I'm the eldest in my family, so I didn't have an older sibling I could borrow anyone from. So me and my friends devised this plan where the first person would go in with this ID and the sort of bouncer would look at it, give it to you. And then she'd go straight to the smokers area, which was this balcony on the outside, and drop it off the back of the balcony where I would be waiting. And then I would pick it up, go round, go to the other doorman, show him, by which time I could have got in, gone to the balcony, dropped it for the third person. And enough time had passed, enough people had gone through by that point that doorman number one won't remember that he's already let somebody through with this name. We'd get like five people in. We'd get five people in sometimes. It was fantastic. I loved it, and it still felt high stakes every time because the efforts you'd have gone to get, you know, to come up with the plan, to get a system going, to get into town, you know, to persuade one of your parents to give you a lift into town. You've got all dressed up. The last thing you want now is getting this confiscated off you and you're stuck out and all your mates got in. So the high stakes. So you'd be really, I mean, I can remember memorising everything, the postcode, the middle name, the expiry date of this tiny little card that was my pass into this mecca of nightlife.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, handing it over and he'd sort of study it for what felt like an eternity and then hand it back over and they'd open these big black padded, like, door, you know, that you only see in nightclubs, really. Mm-hmm. And they'd hold it open and suddenly the music had hit you and you'd walk in and you knew, now I'm in. The night's off now. Like, I don't have to worry again now. We're on.
Nobody IDs you at the bar either?
No, exactly. Once you're in, you're in.
Yeah.
So that feeling when they open the doors, the 3 seconds where you hear the music hit you, you're singing along straight away. I could name you like 5 tracks immediately from that era that just make me immediately feel anything by Nicki Minaj immediately makes me feel like somebody's opened a big black door and let me into the nightclub.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
The bravery of being the last one, though.
Oh.
I mean, the nerves involved in that.
Yeah, I'd always want to go second. I'd always want to go. Second was sweet because you knew which doorman to go to. It was the lowest stake position going second.
Number five, you're taking a big risk, but then also you're getting the reward of your 4 friends inside waiting. Will you get in?
Exactly.
It's cinematic, isn't it?
They would be given a hero's welcome when they came in. All of us go, And we'd have a Jaeger bomb waiting for them as well because it was 5 for a tenner. So
of course, yeah,
we'd have got 5 from the first time we were in. But it was great. It was absolutely great. I loved it. And how grown up and you always want what you can't have, don't you? So when you're 17, all you want to do is be in somewhere that you're not allowed to be in.
Mm.
So I remember like going back home a few years ago in like my mid-20s, going home at Christmas. And me and my mates from school are all there, you know. A lot of them now do live in London, but we're all back at Christmas and we'll meet in a pub. And, you know, it starts to get towards like 11, midnight. And we think, should we go? And we did. We were like, come on, let's go. Oh, my God. You're like, I can't believe this was what we used to think was the be-all and end-all of a big night out, of nightlife pinnacle. This was it for us.
Yeah.
And we went in and we were like, God, it's dire. It's dire, you know.
Sticky floors.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure everybody else there was like 21 and was loving it. But you go in there and you're like, oh, it's very different now what we want from a night out. Do you know what I mean?
Well, now the opposite is the case, isn't it? In fact, what you want is the bouncer to go, sorry, can I see your ID? To go, yes, you can.
Yes, please. Absolutely. I get really annoyed because my husband's got quite a baby face, even though he's a year older than me. And he always gets ID'd. If we go to like the self-checkout, they'll be straight over. Can I see your ID, please? Wow. And I'm there like some sort of cougar, start getting mine out. And they're like, no, it's okay. Thank you.
It's all right. So, no, we just wanted to check your son.
Yeah.
My wife still gets ID'd. My wife's in her 60s and still occasionally.
No way.
Yeah, really. She's got a very young face. Amazing.
No, wow. Blooming heck. That's amazing. Oh, that's the dream, is to still be getting ID'd in your 60s. That's incredible. I want to know her skincare routine.
No, she gets annoyed.
And is she getting ID'd for buying like alcohol?
Yeah.
Like the cool, like, because I've been ID'd for buying an energy drink before. And that annoyed me.
Yes.
Because I think I don't, there's no way I look too young to have an energy drink. So I deciphered that I must look too, like an energy drink could see me off. Do you know what I mean? They look like, oh, I don't know. Are you sure you want this? Because you look a bit.
This is one of the big cans.
Yeah. You're one energy drink away from death. Are you sure?
Well, it's going to have to be the Viper Club. That's going to have to be in there.
Yeah.
It's got to be those doors.
It was sensational.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a 4-second feeling when they hand it back over to you. You've got it. You've done your bit now. And you know, right, for the next 4-5 hours, I'm good.
Fantastic. Oh, happy days.
Happy days.
It's a shared experience. That's what I love about that. It's a shared experience of anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody who can remember going into a club.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Okay, that's number two. So what's number three? Right, this is fun, isn't it? We're going to take a very short ad break, but we'll be back before I can say floxynosinin or hilipilification. Oh, I've said it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back. Sorry I did manage to say floxynosiline or hilipilification, which is a bit pointless as it simply means the estimation of something as worthless. Self-defining, really. Okay, let's get straight back to lovely Maisie Adam, who is anything but floxy nor hilly nor silly pilificacious, obviously. And, of course, the rest of the things from her life she'd want in her time capsule.
Right, number three is, it's a rucksack that I won off a grabber machine.
No.
You know, the nobody ever wins on those, right?
Never, no.
But, Michael, I'm going to say, the early noughties. I was born in 94 and I reckon I was about 8. So about 2004, my family, we used, like my whole extended family, we all used to go to Blackpool every year for a holiday. and there was a new film out, which was Wallace and Gromit, Curse of the Were-Rabbit. Mm-hmm. And we'd all seen it before the holiday, but the merch was everywhere in Blackpool. You couldn't move for Wallace and Gromit merch. And me and all my cousins were obsessed with this film. It was, you know, a film comes out when you're a kid that is just instantly quotable. And we were constantly doing Wallace impressions and all of that in the playground. And then when summer holidays came round, that's all me and my cousins were doing. And there was a grabber machine outside Blackpool Pleasure Beach, and it was a rucksack of Gromit. So like a big, basically like a teddy bear Gromit with straps on that could make it into a bag. And I had a bit of pocket money left to spend, and it went down and it caught the strap of this rucksack and it came up with it. So immediately all my cousins were like gathered around the box. And, you know, I was going like, stay back, stay back, stay back. It was like I was defusing a bomb, you know. I was very precise. Like, stay back, stay back, stay back. Nobody bang it. Nobody bang the glass. Nobody touch me. And I moved it across. And literally, I can remember like my cousin going, and as it came over the little collection box, I released. And I think it was still to this day the biggest rush of endorphins I've ever had. Because as far as I'm concerned, I did the impossible. I've never witnessed anybody win anything on a grabber machine.
No, it ever. Is impossible. It is, unless something goes drastically wrong with it.
Yeah.
That it's designed to take your money. That's what it is. I've got two autistic grandchildren who can't cope with it.
Right.
They say it's so unfair. They just can't stand it.
Yeah. It's probably the cruelest arcade game going, isn't it?
It really is. Because every child thinks that it's a possibility. I might do it. So it's wonderful that there is hope out there.
My brother had a theory that they put like grease or soap on the grabber, because he was like, there's no way that it would pick that up and it just be dropping it. And I was like, I think it just doesn't have a good, like, I don't think it fully closes. I don't think it's anything to do with lubing up the grabber every morning.
That's my job. But what do you do for a living, Dad?
Yeah, I lube up the grabbers. It's not a great sentence, is it? No, but the trick was, and you can pass this on to your grandchildren, they need to go for anything with a strap or a handle. Because I went for the body of the bag, which of course was Gromit, and missed. And I thought I'd messed it up. But one of the things hooked into the strap.
Yeah.
So it was hanging. It was sort of hanging below the grabber. I didn't have a good purchase on it. But it just managed to stay until the collection bit.
The things that go through your mind in that situation.
Didn't even let myself believe it.
No. And you're also thinking, if it is actually hooked on there, I've got to call the man and say, look, I have won it just hasn't dropped. And he'll say, no.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. No.
Yeah, it's got to drop. It's got to drop into the box. Sorry, if you can't get it with your own hands, you haven't won it.
Rules are rules.
Yeah, exactly. And when I tell you, I used that bag as my main school bag for like the next 3 years. And it's so funny because, like, there was another injustice that followed it, which was, of course, I went back to school and people were like, great bag. Like, you got a Wallace and Gromit bag. And I was like, thanks. I won it on a grabber machine. And then people were like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
I was like, I did. And trying to explain to them how it happened. And none of them, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Why would they have bags in a grabber machine? It's just toys. That's a bag. And I was like, oh, no.
Now, of course, there'd be video evidence.
Yeah.
All your cousins would have gone to get their phones out immediately.
Yeah.
But
I'd have had a cousin straight away on Instagram sharing it. I'd have gone viral.
You would have been a
TikTok sensation.
Way before you are. Absolutely. That would have launched your career.
Yeah.
Although you would have been known as the bag lady. That's not good.
Yeah, that's true. It's better than the grabber luber.
No, quite, yes. Oh, God. Have you still got it?
Somewhere. I was trying to find it to show you what I'll do, but I think it's up in my attic.
Yeah.
But it's somewhere, and I must have used it as my school bag for like 3 years. I think I remember getting sort of mum being like, it's a bit tatty now, that bag. Do you want a new one? But I want it on a grabber. Yeah, but nobody knows that. You know, come on. Let's get you one that can actually hold all your books in. I don't mind holding my books if I could just put my pencil case in this one. It's fine.
Yes. Oh, how lovely. God, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations on behalf of everybody
who
stood by those machines, pumping them with money and won nothing.
I suspect they've got a blue plaque. near I'm sure that gravel machine now outside the Blackpool Pleasure Beach.
I think once a year, the top of the tower lights up with your name.
Yes. Mm. Yes, I believe it does. Mm. Yes, and the Wallace and Gromit theme tune is blasted amongst the whole town. Yes. I'm glad you've heard.
Oh, everybody's heard that. Fantastic. Right, so that's three things we put in, Maisie. We've got two to go. We've got a good one and a bad one, so you can choose whichever you want first or last.
Okay. I'll go my bad one because I think I'm going to face a bit of wrath from it.
Oh.
My bad one that I would like to put in a time capsule, Michael, is vapes. Now, I think I'm going to get a bit of flack from vapers and former smokers for this. And for that, I say, listen, hear me out. Mm-hmm. Hear me out. My dad is a former smoker and vapes have been very, very helpful for him. However, he uses those nice little vapes, which, to be honest, never seem to pass their fumes onto anybody else. I don't know what the difference is, but he's vaping on something that fills a need and stops him smoking, and it doesn't impact anybody else. Yet I constantly find myself running through a cloud of citrus or of bubblegum or of watermelon or of blueberry or of candy floss.
Yes.
And it's so, I think it's the thing of like, because if I would genuinely rather, if you walk past somebody quite closely and they're smoking, you can't quite see the smoke as visually.
Mm-hmm.
When you might walk through it. I'm not saying, oh, I've never walked through smoke before, but the cloud that some of these vapes create, it's like you somehow find yourself on Stars in Their Eyes. It's so, you're like batting your way through it just to see where you're going.
It's astonishing how much breath people take. You think there's one draw of this thing, and then it's like a fire.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. It's absolutely insane. And I think it's started to grind my gears, because at the moment I'm in the middle of training for the London Marathon, which, as we speak, when we're recording this podcast, is a month away today. And I'm running all the time down sort of quite narrow like footpaths and stuff to get to the seafront here in Brighton. And the amount of times I find myself just running when I'm already quite short of breath and quite tired, and then I realise that my intake of breath is 90% candy floss as I'm running through somebody's secondhand candy floss as well. Like it's candy floss that's sat in their lungs for a bit and then they've breathed it out. So I just find it quite, I think it's quite a selfish thing. It just takes up so much of other people's personal space. I think if you're going to vape, could you maybe like vape and like maybe you have to, can you like aim for the pavement when you do it? Can you nod your head down and vape downwards? I'm not saying don't vape. I'm not saying vapes are bad. I'm saying vapers have bad etiquette.
Yes.
Could we, going forward together to make a just nicer vibe for us all, could we vape downwards, please, guys?
Yeah. I became particularly aware of those great big chunky ones that people suck on and give out a huge amount of smoke. I became particularly aware of them around the time we were all told we had to stay a metre apart. And I thought to myself, well, that's fairly pointless, because look how much the breath travels.
Travels, yeah. It's very tricky. I remember a while back I had a car share to a gig with a comedian who had very kindly offered me a lift. But then the downside of accepting a lift to a gig is you have to abide by the driver's rules, don't you? So you have to listen to what music they want to listen to. You have to be comfortable driving at a strange, you know, either weirdly slow or a bit too fast for your liking. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, he was more than happy to vape with all the windows shut. And that was, oh my God, it was like a sort of, it just became this haze within the car. And I just knew, I was like, my clothes are just going to smell of watermelon for like another 2 days. So I think I've just got perhaps a little bit. I was nervous about this one because I know that people are going to be like, well, I vape and they've done wonders for my health since coming off cigarettes or whatever. I think it's the bad etiquette. Maybe I'll change it from vapes to bad etiquette vapors.
Yes. Yeah, no, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
I think particularly with those very large ones, it's almost as if people are saying, well, I have the right to do this. And you go, well, yeah. Really, do you?
Yeah. You know, I've been on like, I mean, I think this grinds everyone's gears, but if you're ever on like a bus or a train and somebody's watching videos without their headphones on, that's like, it's the equivalent to that for me of like, it's an act you're doing for yourself. And I'm not saying don't watch it, just don't make it my issue as well.
There was a man on the train last night. He had his phone up to his ear, so he obviously had it on very quietly.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he must have been watching a stand-up routine or a comedy routine because he had it by his ear and then was going,
oh.
I'd rather hear the routine if you're going to laugh that loudly.
Yeah.
It's those sort of things, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's being in society and not taking part in society that's annoying.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I absolutely, if I was a vapor listening to this podcast now, I would absolutely be rolling my eyes at me and going, what happened to better an empty flat than a bad tenant, eh, Maisie? Like, I'm not playing by my own rules, and I completely concede that. But you know what? Do you know what? I'm the guest on this podcast, so my rules. Rules are rules, as you said.
It's your right. It's your right to contradict yourself as well. That's fine. I completely agree with you. I think that those huge billowing clouds.
Yeah.
I tooted a car the other week because I thought it was on fire.
What?
The smoke billowing out of the windows was so much. I thought, oh, my God. I went,
you're on fire.
And I went, oh, God, he's vaping.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, you'd think that that would be a bit of a wake-up call, wouldn't you, going, I wonder if I'm puffing too much on this. I wonder if I'm having this a bit much that people are starting to think I'm in a burning car.
Maybe, yeah. Well, that won't happen anymore.
No.
Because I'm afraid those people are inside the time capsule and they're gone. You won't have to suffer it anymore.
Love it. Love it.
Lovely. So all we've got is one lovely thing that you want to put in.
One lovely thing that I'd want to put in is the song Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush.
Ah, what a great song.
I think it's a masterpiece.
It is.
I think it's a beautiful song. I think Kate Bush is an incredible lyricist. It's a song that means a lot to me. My mum used to play it to me when I was a kid, and it gives me nice, fond memories. But also, like, I think it re-entered the charts a couple of years back because it was used in Stranger Things. And to have a song like that, that's not one of these like mad dance songs that comes round, you know, like Murder on the Dance Floor, which I think is also a fantastic song, or there's a lot of floor fillers, you know, Rhythm of the Night that will come back every 10, 20 years because they're bangers. Mm. Running up that hill it doesn't get your heart racing as you're dancing on a floor, on a filled dance floor, but it's a song that I just think reaches everybody and you can enjoy it. Played as part of like, you know, it would go off at a festival. Everybody would love joining in with it. But also, if you ever listen to it just on your own with your headphones, it's hard to not get quite choked up about it. I just think she's incredibly talented. I think it's one of the best songs ever written. And after filling this time capsule with the likes of a Wallace and Gromit rucksack, a slush puppy, and the feeling of getting into a nightclub, I thought it was right that I actually should put something in of some stature to the rest of the world rather than just myself.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put a song in there and trying to pick one song that you hope would stand the test of time for I don't know when this time capsule is going to get opened, how long it's going to be, but whether it's 100 years or a million years, I think this is the song that I would want the listener to hear.
Very good. Very good choice. I remember when it came out, to begin with, almost everybody thought, oh, that's a bit disappointing, which is strange.
Yeah.
Because she'd written such beautiful lyrical songs. You know, I hear him before I go to sleep. And you think so. And suddenly this thing with just a drum going and a strange sound, a rhythmic side to it that you thought, well, what's that? But it's the most extraordinary song, isn't it?
It's incredible. Yeah, as you say, that drum that you hear at the very start that maintains throughout it, it keeps it does feel like you are running up. It's a pace of a song that kind of, I don't know how she manages to write something that feels like a steady pace of momentum whilst also feeling kind of dreamlike and hallucinogenic. It's an absolute masterpiece. I just think it's one of the best songs ever written.
It is almost as if it's speeding up as well, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's incredibly clever.
Yeah. It's an illusion, isn't it? I think it's fantastic. best enjoyed with a slush puppy.
I'm sure. Yes.
As Kate Bush would have wanted.
That's why she wrote it. Yes. I'm going to tell you a little story, but I'll probably cut this out because I think I may have told this before. The very first Comic Relief, I was lucky enough to be to perform at it at the Shaftesbury Theatre. And one of the performers was Kate Bush. And at the end, we were all told to line up in the wings to go on to sing Feed the World with Midge Ure and Bob Geldof. And in front of me was Kate Bush. And I thought, this is the most fantastic thing of my life ever.
Wow.
And just before we were due to go on, she turned around to me and said, "And it's exciting." And it makes me cry to think of it because I thought to myself,
oh,
if she was excited.
So pure.
It's unbelievable. The things she'd already done, the life she'd led. And yet she found this moment incredibly exciting.
Oh, that's really touching. I love that about her, that she's this incredible talent that it has no desire whatsoever to be front and centre of this whirlwind, mad industry that she's both a pioneer and champion of. It's incredible. Me and my mum got to go to those concerts that she did about 10 years ago, and it was her first live shows in 25 years, and she did a few nights at the Hammersmith Apollo. And again, talking about the sort of phones thing, it was the first concert I'd been to that was with a severely strict rule: no phones. Absolutely no phones. And as a result, it was, I mean, not just as a result of that, obviously largely down to the fact that it was Kate Bush, but the lack of technology around it, of just being in the moment and hearing her authentically perform these songs that have carry so much power, was a night I'll never forget. I've since never been to a gig like it. It was just phenomenal.
Fantastic. Well, the Mall isn't a hill. I think it may be a slight hill, so I hope that you're playing that on your headphones as you cross the line after the London Marathon.
Absolutely.
I shall look at you and I shall hear that song playing.
Yes, please do.
Fantastic. Yeah. Maisie, how lovely to talk to you. How lovely to meet you.
Oh, thank you, Michael. This has been a real treat for me, so thank you.
Thank you.
Best of luck with the rest of the run. You're in it for the long haul.
I really am. Oh, my God. Lovely to meet you.
Brilliant. Bye. Thanks so much.
See you. Bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to My Time Capsule with me, Mike Fenton-Stevens, and my lovely guest, Maisie Adam. What a joy. Many thanks for joining us and sticking with us. If you've had fun and this is your first time, then we have well over 360 episodes of My Time Capsule in our back catalogue, as Julian Clary might say. But of course, he'd make it funny. Do have a look and do subscribe for all new episodes as they're released. Have a look at my back catalogue. Still not funny. Never mind. We, that's me and My Time Capsule, are both on various social media sites. I'm a bit less contentious these days. It's not age, but contractual. But we're still worth searching out and following. We're both happy to be contacted, of course, there. Or you can email us on mytimecapsulepodcast@gmail.com. You can get this podcast ad-free if you pay a small subscription through Acast Plus. Details in the description of this episode, along with a link to Acast Plus and various other things associated with the podcast and our guest. The theme tune by Pass the Peas Music is available on Spotify, and this was a cast-off production produced with great aplomb by John Fenton Stevens. Right, I'm back to teach my dog to play the trumpet. Sadly, he'll only play it on the London Underground, so I can't really give you an example, but yesterday he went from barking to tooting in under 2 hours. Impressive. Bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.